Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Second to None podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network and streaming on the 365 Sports YouTube channel. Like I said, we're live here. I'm Blaine Gilmer here with former Georgia wide receiver, NFL wide receiver, Tavarius King. Tavarius, man, can this college football season get any crazier? And even in the SEC, it just each week crazy stuff happens.
Yeah, man, every week something surprising happens. Somebody's doing something that's eye-opening. Obviously, didn't expect South Carolina to hang a 40-piece on UF, but they did. Didn't expect LSU to play Bama that close, but they did. A lot went down. There was a shootout up in Knoxville. So, I mean, yeah, a lot went down, man. It was a fun weekend of football in the SEC for sure.
One, seeing Kentucky score 42 points, and then the other, seeing Kentucky give up 45 points. That was shocking in itself. You know, we talked about that game. Who knows? Is Dan Mullen going to be fired? We're going to touch on that. You know, who would they call possibly if he is fired? That kind of thing. Of course, you mentioned the battle in Tuscaloosa there. But, guys, just to so everybody knows, Second to None is the show on the Believe Podcast Network that covers everything and all things SEC football related. That's what we're going to touch on here. It's not a college football wide show. It's not about all about the college football playoff. We are touching on the Southeastern Conference here tonight, and we're talking about the reaction to Week 10 specifically. And TK, I know there's a lot of people that would have gotten burned if they'd been betting on some of these games, right? I know I went 1-for-3 with the games I predicted this week. I thought that Mississippi State would take care of business, and I also thought that Auburn would be able to get a win after how they've been going. But Texas A&M stepped up, Arkansas stepped up. I did predict Tennessee would win. They didn't win as big as I thought they would. But TK, speaking of betting, right, if you want to put down some action, then you need to go with our sponsor. That is Bet Online, guys, because Bet Online is back and better than ever. A new website Bet Online has for the start of basketball season, with more props, with more odds and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains the number one for all the basketball and football action this season. So head on over to that updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do is use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV50, BELIEVE50, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And TK, like I said, if people were betting on some of these games, even the Georgia game, TK, it was a 39-point spread, and we'll get into that in a minute. Georgia didn't cover because right there at the end, giving up another field goal there at the end, or field goal in the fourth quarter, which they didn't give up a touchdown yet, but Georgia didn't cover the 39.5, so that would have burned us. I think we both had them covering there on Missouri if we'd been betting on those games. That's why we tell people, you got to be responsible, right? You got to pick your spots on where you're going to bet these games. 39 points is always a lot.
That is a hefty amount. We almost did it, bro. It was dope to see us hold them out of the end zone right there. Them calling timeouts, trying to get in the end zone. That was kind of dope to see. But yeah, man, a couple people probably lost some money going out.
No doubt. So where I want to start off is, speaking of losing some money, one guy that he won't be losing money because he'll be getting a buyout probably is Dan Mullen, but he will be losing his job probably after South Carolina beats Florida in Columbia. They, a home game, and we've said that home field advantage is, you know, crucial, but I think Florida at one point was a 20-point favorite on this deal, TK, and they end up getting beat 40-17. And, you know, Tavarius, when you see a outcome like this and you see a Florida team that just seems to not have any kind of identity offensively or defensively, it seems like, you know, maybe the coach, it's just time for him to move on to somewhere else.
Man, it's definitely rough to be Dan Mullen. It's rough to be a Florida fan. It's rough to be a Gator right now, I'm guessing. Man, they allowed a team that hadn't played well, but that has been getting better to hang a 40 piece on them. And you said it, bro. They've been like this all year. You play Bama good, and then you from then on out, it's just shooting yourself in the foot. So, man, I think that probably some decisions will be made. But who the guy is, I don't know, man. Maybe like somebody like a Hugh Freeze, you and I talked about before. Urban Meyer might get fired from Jacksonville. No.
They may ask Urban if he wants to, hey, do you want to stay in the Sunshine State and just come back here to Florida?
Yeah, run that back, Turbo. Hugh Freeze would be a dope one from Liberty. You saw how they played Ole Miss this week. Hugh Freeze is a guy that's been a part of this league, knows the ins and outs of the league. And
it's just, do people trust that he's, you know, whether he's kind of corrected some of his personal demons he had, you know, with some of the scandals, but there's no doubt that he can coach college football. And Florida, I think, is most successful when they have a guy who's a offensive mind, but somebody that also has some fire to him. I don't know if Tavares, if you saw the comparison video of a couple weeks ago that people were playing of Dan Mullen in a pregame speech versus Kirby Smart in a pregame speech, and just the intensity level that comes across. Somebody said Dan Mullen sounds like a fifth grade teacher out there trying to get his kids to calm down after recess or something. And Kirby is over there, saying, cut it loose. You let your butt, all that kind of stuff, just chopping on Jordan Davis's shoulder pads. There is a difference in how they approach the game. And I'm not saying everybody has to do things the right that same way, right? But definitely it just seems that a team takes on a coach's personality in Florida that really has a split personality right now.
Right. I mean, their identity is unknown. And it starts from the top, in my opinion. I feel like when you talk about things like recruiting doesn't matter midseason, and you say things like that, it's eye opening. It's eye opening to not only your players, but to, the higher up. So, again, to that point, man, I don't know what's going on at UF. I don't know what will go on at UF, but I definitely think something will.
And before we move on, we'd be remiss if we didn't give credit to this South Carolina team.
Yeah, right? Heck yeah. I wrote that down, bro. I definitely want to congratulate Coach Beamer and their staff, bro, because I said it earlier. They've been progressively getting better and better and better and just chipping away. And dude, you got to love what he's done with that program, and obviously a huge win for that program and that staff.
Yeah, and, when you talk about Jason Brown, this guy who hadn't played all year, and he comes in here and gets his first start, he's a transfer from St. Francis. I'm not even going to pretend like I'm smart enough and enough of a football, just savant to know where St. Francis is, okay? This guy, he comes out of nowhere and goes 14-24, 175, two tutties against Florida's defense. And, of course, Kevin Harris and Zaquandre White both go over the century mark, 111 yards for Zaquandre White and Kevin Harris with 128. Florida gives up 284 rushing yards, TK, in this game after giving up 321 2 weeks ago to LSU, another 193 to Georgia just last week in the cocktail party. I know that Todd Grantham's gone. We know that as defensive coordinator. We know that's a done deal. But I just think with this defense, defensive line was supposed to be the strength of this team with Florida, and now they're just giving up rushing yards after rushing yards.
Yeah, it's definitely tough to see them do that. I love Coach Grantham. Coach Grantham was at Georgia when my final year there, so that's my dog. But man, guys, we got to step up and make plays and obviously make plays for their coach. But to that point, man, if you're looking at the other side of the ball, Florida rushed for 82 yards during the game. So they couldn't stop. They couldn't stop the run. And they couldn't run the ball. So it was just a rough day. Again, like I said it before, it was just a rough day to be a Gator, man.
Yeah, and you talk about all these high-flying offenses, right? And this next game that we're going to talk about leads right into it. But when you talk about all these high-flying offenses in today's time of the last, LSU of 2019, Alabama of 2020, and teams just dominating people. People don't realize those teams were still able to run the ball when they needed to run the ball. And if you do or don't have the capability to stop the run and to run the ball in the SEC or in the college football playoff for that matter, you look last year, the runner-ups, Ohio State, they were with Sermon, man, they were running that rock, you know. They were getting after it. So this next game that we're going to talk about, Alabama survives, TK, and I do mean survives. It was LSU was within about 6-7 yards of winning that thing down there, you know, when they had a chance and Alabama stood up kind of in the red zone there, in the gold zone, some people call it, inside the 10 there. So 20-14 Alabama over LSU. The most staggering statistic that I can come up with this game is Alabama finishes this game, TK, with 6 total rushing yards on the day. The floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, that was my most eye-opening thing of the game as well, man, was just how LSU's front seven was able to get after them in the run game. And by get after them, I mean the surge. I'd like to see the surge stat on that just to see what it was. But they were in the backfield multiple times. When you hold a Alabama offense to 6 point or 6 rushing yards the entire game, that's very telling. Something else that is telling is they're putting a lot of pressure on Bryce Young to make plays, and he's doing it. Yeah. Dude, he's doing it. There were several times LSU was playing off coverage, and this guy was just taking what was given to him. You want to play off? I'll throw this out. You want to play off? I'll throw this slant to Michi. So I mean, he's very cerebral. He's very smart. But I think that if they're going to, you know, go further, they're going to have to be able to run the ball. And if you can't run the ball on LSU, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle.
Yeah. Imagine if that was Georgia's defensive front across the way from them.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So that was probably my most telling thing of the game, but good thing for Bama is that they got a kid like Bryce Young that can help them through the air and on the ground. He's not like crazy fast, but somehow he just makes things work. So he's fun to watch, man. I think that they got some work to do for sure.
No, they do. That offensive line is struggling right now. LSU gave them some looks and absolutely got after Bryce Young. I mean, getting hit, son. Bryce Young took off running one time. That man, they say he's 195 now. He ain't 195. He may be 185 if he's depending on if he ate a peanut butter and jelly that morning. I'm just telling you, the man is a slender quarterback, right? He can throw it now. He's got a howitzer attached to the right side of his body. I mean, he can sling that thing, but he is not a sturdily built quarterback. So he needs to get down, because that safety came and headhunted him, number 5 for LSU. Man, he got him for sure. But now when it comes to Alabama, like I said, the offensive line continues to struggle time after time. Not only the run game was absolutely stifled. I mean, Brian Robinson Jr. averaged 1.4 yards per carry in this game. No, that doesn't happen at all. Brian Robinson Jr. B-Rob's been holding it down for Alabama this year. He's been doing a good job. But, you know, also, like I said, time after time, Bryce Young was under pressure. And you talked about Bryce Young having to make all the plays, it seemed like, for Alabama on offense. Will Anderson, they're putting just as much pressure on Will Anderson. If Will Anderson is not on that Alabama team on defense, they lose that game last night. Will Anderson was the reason they won that football game last night, in my opinion. The young man is absolutely dominating football games. He can't be blocked right now.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. He's a insane athlete, insane player. But that was my second thing. My second most eye-opening thing was that they still have gaps and holes in that defense that have not been addressed. I think Will Anderson and I think that their back end played the best, but dude, that they've got some problems. We said it a few shows ago. Bama can bleed, son. They're leaking.
Yeah, that was rough right there. They literally almost saw their season go by the wayside. But Jordan Battle and some other of those safeties, I mean, they do some good things throughout the game, but there is lots of miscommunication. You talk about on that 4th-and-1 play where they were in the jet sweep action and you saw both those safeties go outside, nobody in their run fits. When you see a Alabama team not fitting in run gaps the way they're supposed to, you know Nick Saban. I mean, when Nick Saban is as nice and as controlled as he was in the post game interview last night, you know you don't want to be those Alabama kids on Monday, because if he's being that nice to the reporter, see, when things are going good, Nick Saban has to find something to nitpick and be mean to the on field reporter about and it'd be snarky and stuff. But when he's being Mr. Smooth and nice and collected, you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to keep that 70-year-old blood pressure down, you know, so he doesn't have to
so he can fire off on these players.
Absolutely, because he knows he's about to have to crank it up and break that knob off to crank it up to 11 and break the knob off when he goes in there in the locker room. And man, it's going to be crazy next week for Alabama's practice. So Alabama does survive. I do not know if they're the number two team in the country right now. They may be just because of Bryce Young and how good he is, but you got to hand it one thing before we move on. Again, we gave credit to Shane Beamer and them. I know we've made fun of Ed Orgeron a lot, but you got to say Ed Orgeron, he gets his guys to play at certain times. He's able to motivate guys.
And you know, I was going to say that's the disappointing thing about him not being there. And obviously this thing going the way it's going is that these cats have played really, really good for him.
There's been inconsistencies this year for sure.
Yeah, 100%. There's been inconsistencies, but for the most part, bro, like you said, he's gotten these guys to play, and I think he said it. They play. I feel like they did. They played better than Alabama.
I think they did too. And another thing, before we move on, Alabama couldn't put them away. Right? That's a good team, a good Alabama team under Nick Saban. The legendary teams, they're able, when they smell blood in the water, they go for the kill and it's over with. Like I thought when they went on that 14-point run there at the end of the first half, I was like, well, this is about to get ugly. They come out in the second half, touchdown, and then literally from that point on the rest of the game, LSU stayed right in it or played better than them in the second half. So it was very, very interesting in terms of that matter. This one won't take long to touch on, TK, but Georgia takes care of business. You talk about putting teams away. Missouri had, I think, a 3-point lead, I think, at 5 minutes in the first quarter, and that's all she wrote. Stetson Bennett comes down. There, Georgia's going to roll with Stetson Bennett. That is quite clear now. JT Daniels did not play until it became well out of hand. It was a 30-point lead before JT Daniels came in, and JT Daniels did not look sharp when he came in. You could tell that he hadn't played in 5-6 weeks. I mean, he was, you know, missed some throws, had some throws batted down, things like that. But when you talk about Georgia and, you know, what they're able to do defensively right now, TK, I don't know if it matters who's at quarterback, because that defense is so stifling.
Yeah, obviously that front seven is ridiculous. Their front four is insane. I mean, they're going to put you in a position from a field position standpoint to be in good shape every time. Dude, I watched my man Walker walk a whole 300-pound man back into the quarterback's lap. So when you've got guys that play like that, it's phenomenal. But to your point, Stetson looked good all day long. People talk about him not being able to throw the deep ball. He put it up and gave his guys a chance to make a play. And to that point, guys were making plays. A.D. Mitchell, Jermaine, Brock Bowers.
TK, now that Georgia has a healthy Jermaine Burton and a healthy Arian Smith that you saw early and often in those games, that's scary for folks from that Georgia wide receiver core when they got a guy who's literally the fastest player that's ever played at the University of Georgia, Arian Smith. TK, on his career so far, when Arian Smith's been healthy, 8 targets, 5 catches, 3 touchdowns in his career. Is that that means he scores?
That's efficiency, my brother. That's efficiency.
How scary is that for them to have a healthy Jermaine Burton and Arian Smith now, and Kiaris Jackson all rounding into shape late in the year?
I mean, it's super scary. You're getting Speedster's back. You're getting, some guys that have played. You're getting a lot back, some experience. So I mean, it's huge. When you've got guys that can open up things on the outside now you thought Brock Bowers was doing damage before. Now think about having to worry about Jermaine and my man Smith.
Just run three verticals and let Brock drag across the field or something.
And then you worried about that? Well, let me turn around and hand this thing to Zeus one time. So I mean, there's a lot that takes place. Oh, and oh, you worried about that? Well, take off Dan Stetson. Yeah. So I mean, there's a lot that we can do now. So I'm excited about it. And obviously, Coach Munkin looks to be doing some special things.
No doubt. And last thing I do want to touch on, obviously, Adam Anderson and a little bit of a legal situation right here. Kirby Smart said they're going to let that situation play out. But TK, to that point, when you got a guy who's accused of something, you do have to let the legal situation play out. But Georgia has the versatility. They started Robert Bill, who's a senior, who's played a lot for Georgia over the years. He's going to be playing there, but you talked about Trayvon Walker. How big of a luxury is it to take a guy who's 285 and runs down on kickoff team that's been playing defensive tackle, and now you can slide him out and play him at the Jack linebacker or at the – he's that athletic, you can play him at outside linebacker, him and Nolan Smith out there?
I mean, personally for him, hell, dude, you're a freak. You could play inside, you could play outside. You're special. You're going. You're going to the league, sir.
Oh, he's going after this year. It's done.
Yeah, you're going. But, man, when you have a guy like that on defense that can play inside and outside, it allows you to be fresh. It allows you to rotate more guys. So it keeps horses in the stable, bro. And when you've got horses in the stable, you can walk somebody back into the quarterback's lap because he's been out there a few plays. And you coming in fresh. So it's there's a lot that we can do, man. I'm telling you, watching this Georgia defense, it's fun, bro. If you get an opportunity, any of y'all get an opportunity, just cut the tape on.
And speaking of staying fresh, that Georgia defense, it will be important. They got to rest a lot in the second half of this game, played a lot of young guys, and they're going to need that rest because this next team that we're talking about, Tennessee versus Kentucky, we're going to react to that game. Tennessee 45, Kentucky 42, an absolute shootout. Kentucky, I think, set the school record for most plays in a game. They ran 98 plays in this game, TK. That is, I mean, just tell people for reference. I mean, you're talking about normal in a game, maybe 60-something plays.
Yeah, that's 60, 70 is a lot. 70 is a lot. So, yeah, 98, boy. That's
98
that's
plays.
That's getting it in.
Is ridiculous. But you talk about this Tennessee team, and we've talked about Hendon Hooker and how special we think Hendon Hooker can be for Tennessee and is proving to be. 15 of 20, 316. Four tutties, no interceptions, and absolutely doing his thing. And they continue to go down the field out wide to these guys. Javonte Payton, he had two catches, 78 yards, a touchdown, 39 yards of reception. Cedric Tillman, six catches, 79 yards, 13.2 yards a catch, a touchdown. And Bayless Jones, five catches, 100 yards, 20 yards of reception, a touchdown. So they have weapons on the outside, and I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. Can Hendon Hooker have time against this Georgia defense upcoming to find those weapons down the field?
Yeah, I mean, that'll be the tail of the game. If we can get to Hendon Hooker and allow him and, disrupt him, that'll be huge. But, to that point, Josh Heupel –
look at our man Wesley Perkins down here. Says no matter how bad Tennessee is, they always seem to find a way to beat Kentucky. Hey, there's some of those teams that just seem to have each other's number, you know?
Yeah, that's just how that goes, man. But like I was saying, Josh Heupel and Tennessee have been rolling, and we've been talking about them being very special, bro. Tennessee fans have something to be happy about in Josh Heupel. They have something to be happy about in Hendon Hooker. He just kept making play after play after play. The thing that was eye-opening in this Kentucky game, though, was that I'm sure Mark Stoops is just livid about. Bro, often, several times, Hendon Hooker had, you know, receivers just running butt naked, like wide open. So
busted, just busted coverages.
Yeah. So I mean, we talk about Kentucky's defense all the time being so good, so sound, having a lot of experience with the older guys, seniors, redshirt seniors, bro. I mean, butt naked. It was crazy. I was like, dang, that's high school open.
Well, and here's the thing, too. This tells you what the story of this game was, TK. The turnover battle was even. Kentucky had the ball for 46 minutes out of this game. 46 minutes and 8 seconds of possession. Tennessee had it for 13 minutes and 52 seconds. TK, all they had was just explosive plays. They didn't have great. They were 3 of 8 on third down. They didn't keep the ball.
That's a fun day, though, Blaine. You just bombing on them. That's a fun day, so that's a fun day.
What was that play call on Madden? Da bomb? Is that what the
da bomb?
You just go out there, call four verts. Hey, everybody, go deep. I'm gonna find somebody. No, I mean, that's what Josh Heupel and his crew brings. But I think that is a reason that you see, and we'll get into a breakdown of this on our episode later in the week of the Tennessee Georgia game. That's the reason I think you're seeing Georgia open up as a 20.5 point favorite on the road against Tennessee, is because I think Tennessee has become as exciting as they are, which Tennessee football is exciting again to watch. As exciting as they are, they're very dependent on explosive plays. I mean, and you're not going to get those, you know, those don't come all the time. You have to manufacture those explosive plays, right? Or you have to hope there's some bust like Kentucky has, and those aren't always the most reliable thing to. So really, Kentucky, the way they played, if you told me that Kentucky was going to have 612 yards of offense in this game, TK.
Yeah, I would have said they won.
Yeah, and be 12 of 17 on third down. I'm like, Kentucky just ran through them like, you know, like nothing, but that is not the case. Tennessee goes on the road and gets Josh Heupel a signature win there over a good Kentucky team, 45-42. And my, how things have changed for Kentucky here in a couple of weeks. They go from, you know, thinking about a possible 11-1 season, maybe a New Year's Six bowl game, and now Mississippi State and Tennessee have knocked them off back to, you know, it's basketball season, TK. The mindset changes up there.
Yeah, and see, look, I was being too nice to them. That was my bold prediction. I said they was going to get them a little New Year's Day bowl. But then you're right, man. It's hooping time.
Yeah, it's time for basketball up there in the Bluegrass State. So that is our reaction to Tennessee, 45-42 over Kentucky. Now, TK, the other game, but we're going to save Texas A&M and Auburn for last. Arkansas, Mississippi State. TK, I thought Mississippi State would continue to roll, and, you know, coming off the playoff committee giving them some respect, and them, you know, having beat Texas A&M earlier this year and just doing some really good things and beating a good Kentucky team. I thought that they would continue that momentum a little bit, but old Sam Pittman had the boys from Arkansas ratcheted up for this one. They end up with 202 rushing yards, beat Mississippi State by 3 points, 31-28. You know, what are your thoughts, TK, on Arkansas now bowl eligible under Sam Pittman after year two, after Chad Morris basically ran that program into the dang ground?
Yes, sir. Our guy. Congrats to him for being bowl eligible. Coach Pittman and the Arkansas Razorbacks. That's super dope for them. But, dude, I think that this is a team that's – we talked about identity earlier. This is a team that's taking on the identity of their coach. He's somebody that's hard-nosed, knockout, drag-out type of guy. When they get into games like this, this is kind of the outcome that I expect. I expect them to slug it out and finish it the hard way, and that's kind of how this one was. Obviously, my man on the other side at the QB, Will Rogers,
had a big day.
Boy, talk about a rocket launcher on the arm. He was out there spinning it.
36 of 48, 417, four touchdowns, but he did have that one interception. You know, ultimately, TK, when you're in a 3-point game like this, Arkansas did win the turnover battle, so they got one more, you know, they got an extra possession out of this game. And when you get an extra possession in the game and, you know, the time of possession was nearly even on that thing, both everybody was about the same on third down efficiency. So, you know, really a tight game all the way around. And TK, I think that these are two teams that if you project forward, these are two teams that are going in the right direction.
100%. We talked about Mississippi State a little, I think, on our last show, and Zach Arnett and what he's doing. That defense is playing so well. We don't know if he'll be there next year. They've kind of turned things around so much that you know, Zach Arnett is looking like a candidate for a coaching job. But, man, I feel like Mississippi State.
Hey, they can play defense. You think Florida might go after Zach Arnett?
Ooh, see, look. He's playing
Zach purposes. Arnett's agent. If he gets that job, we need to get a cut. We need to get a finder.
I need that percentage. I need 1 or 2 points on that, my friend.
Hey, I'll take a half if that thing's you don't get an SEC head coaching job now without getting $5 million a year at least. So I'll take half.
One or two points, my friend.
One or two. TK's like, nah, I want that big money. So, I agree with you. I think that Mississippi State has a lot to like about where this team is headed, even in spite of this loss. And, TK, there is a crazy scenario out there. There's a lot of stuff that has to happen. But technically, somebody put a graphic out that the SEC West could finish like in a six-way tie with everybody ended up 5-3 on the year in the division. Alabama would have to lose to Arkansas and Auburn, which could happen. I'm not putting it past Alabama.
I'm not either.
So we'll see. I doubt that's highly unlikely, but a three-way tie could be there in certain scenarios still. And here's the thing. Texas A&M is playing good ball, and we're going to switch over to that game now. Texas A&M was at Calzada. Everybody kind of left them for dead, us included, thought, you know, once Mississippi State beat them, and it was over with. But now, TK, they have planted their flag. They've won the Alabama State Championship this year. Texas A&M has beaten the Crimson Tide and the Auburn Tigers after yesterday's 20-3 victory over Auburn. And, TK, that's impressive because – Bo Nix has been playing some of the best football of his career leading into this game, and I predicted that would continue for him.
You jinxed him, bro.
I thought it was going to keep going for him. I really did. But, you know, he was under 50% completion with 20 of 41 for 153 and an interception yesterday. They didn't run the football effectively, and I think we saw a little glimpse, TK, with this defense for Texas A&M of why everybody had them ranked as a top 10 team coming into the year, and lo and behold, here at the end of the year, they're going to be back in the top 10.
Yeah, they had my dude Lamar Jackson Jr., Bo Nix running around like crazy. So hats off to that defense. I think that their ends are really impressive. The way they get after it is super impressive. They had Bo Nix running around like crazy. Couldn't do everything that he wanted to do. Couldn't improvise like he wanted to, and it showed. And obviously, with them struggling to run the ball, he was having to do more. A lot was put on his shoulders, and you know, couldn't get it done. But to your point, he was having a hell of a year. You know, after being benched, but. But, man, it was a struggle for him the other night, man. Rolling out, losing the ball. I think I tweeted he had little Burger King hands. I saw that.
You said he must have little Burger King hands.
Yeah, man, because I'm rooting for him. But yeah, then he's going to fumble the ball. But no, man, I think he's played well up until this point after being benched, man. And it was a tough outing for him and you know, the Auburn Tigers.
And everybody knows about, of course, DeMarvin Leal, who's projected to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. But it was Tyree Johnson who was getting things done with 2 sacks on the day. Jalen Jones had an interception. So that Texas A&M defense stepped up. And then when you talk about the distribution of the ball, you know, once Texas A&M is able to get that run game going a little bit, TK, Isaiah Spiller, Devon Achane, and then you're able to incorporate Caleb Chapman and Jalen Weidemeyer down the field kind of as they did, I think that's impressive for Texas A&M. And quite honestly, if there were a, if Alabama does slip up, I think right now, matchup wise, Texas A&M is a better matchup for Georgia than Alabama is, because I think Texas A&M is playing, they're running the ball better than Alabama is for sure. And their defensive front is, I think, better collectively than Alabama's. Of course, Will Anderson is a freak for Alabama, but I think they have more players on that Texas A&M defense side of the ball that are playing at a higher level than Alabama does right now. And, you know, I think it would be a good game if that were to happen. But, you know, TK, we'll call it, that's kind of all of the reactions there. But with this Alabama game, Alabama team and the game that they've just had and come off of, do you feel, I think we've all felt like Nick Saban says, okay, he's going to, you know, flip the switch and they're going to become the Alabama old here before too long. How do you think Alabama finishes out these last couple of games here?
Man, it could be rough for them. Obviously the Iron Bowl.
At Arkansas.
Yeah, Arkansas. Again, Sam Pittman's got a – dude, you think they're going to be able – I feel like Arkansas's defense is better than LSU's defense.
Yeah, it probably – I mean, Arkansas has played more consistently on defense. They gave up the 52 points or whatever to Ole Miss, but Ole Miss tends to do that to everybody, man, a little bit, even though they struggled a little bit with Liberty yesterday, 27-14, and we won't get into that one as much. But when you talk about Alabama here to finish, they get to get right next week against New Mexico State, but then they close the year out with Arkansas and Auburn. So, you know, still some tough games left to go. If they slip up on just one of them, TK, and Texas A&M's able to run the table, it would be Georgia and Texas A&M in the SEC championship instead of Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, I like what you said, too. Texas A&M is playing good football. I think that their young OL is growing up. But if it is that young OL is in store for something scary.
No doubt. And to be fair, Texas A&M has some tough games down the line as well. Nothing easy. They got to go to Ole Miss. So we'll see how good that defense is against that the Lane train over there in Oxford. And then, of course, LSU. They got to go to Baton Rouge and what will be Ed Orgeron's probably last game. They may not even make it to a bowl, depending on how they do going forward. So, you know, when you talk about LSU – here there'll be a lot of emotion in that game. They'll be wanting to play for Ed O, you know, the last game and all that kind of stuff. So the SEC West could not be more intriguing. Absolutely crazy how it's going to finish out. Guys, if you have any questions for us, go ahead and drop them in the comments. We'll be glad to answer them right here. Here's what Kenneth Sawyer says. He says, exactly, Arkansas is very physical. Bama's got to get out of the remaining in the season with no injuries. And obviously, he's an Alabama fan. He says, roll tide. Guys, I agree. You're not going to find any back down in a Sam Pittman coach team. They're going to come out. They're going to want to play. They're already bowl eligible. You know they're going to want to fight to get even in a better and better bowl game, TK, as things go on. And when you got a guy like KJ Jefferson and Treylon Burks, I mean, I like Treylon Burks against any one of those safeties that Alabama has.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about him before. He's won my Up Top Pork Chop Award before. He's a special player. He goes up against the ball, runs the intermediate routes, but you heard me just say it, up top pork chop, throw it up and he's gonna go get it.
SEC football here says Aggies rooting for Arkansas and Auburn the next few weeks. There's no doubt there's going to be some unholy alliances made here these last couple of weeks,
TK. So y'all want the smoke is what you saying?
they want the smoke, no doubt. SEC football also said A&M should be number 6 in the polls. They're a good football team. It's gonna be hard to wherever they get ranked for sure. But guys, that is going to be, unless people drop in some questions here late, we'll be happy to answer them. But just wanted to let you guys know that we are live here on Sunday nights. We also have a show that comes out later in the week. And we record it on Wednesday morning. We release it for you either Wednesday or Thursday, depending on when we can get that thing edited up and put out for you. So we'll be doing And we may release it in a couple parts. We always pick a couple games a week to do a preview on. I know we'll be doing Tennessee and Georgia this upcoming week. I'll look right here and see who else we've got coming up for this week. But TK, just real briefly, nothing in depth because we're going to go into it, but just kind of talk to everybody what you expect out of that Tennessee-Georgia game and where – you know, Tennessee maybe could give Georgia some if they were to give them a challenge, how would that look?
Well, I mean, just watching the way that they played, you know, Kentucky and everybody else, they play up tempo. They play upbeat. And I don't think that we've played a team that does that yet. So if we do get in a situation to where our defense is out there for a long period of time, it's going to be interesting to see how we react to that. You know, if we're stuck in wind or if we're, you know, locked in and still ready to roll. But, man, I don't think that's the question. I think we're the question. Yeah. You know,
yeah, Georgia Kirby Smart is talking about how Georgia says now they're more worrying about playing to their standard, right, and competing right against themselves each week. So we will see how that goes down. Also, TK, we're going to preview Georgia and Tennessee later this week. We will also preview in depth Texas A&M after they've just come off the victory over Auburn, going to Ole Miss and playing Lane Kiffin and Matt Corral in Oxford. You know, Matt Corral, he's still, you know, firmly in that Heisman consideration that he could, you know, against a Texas A&M defense. TK, he could have himself a Heisman type performance against that Texas A&M team.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he's been playing like that all year long. I don't expect him not to play like that. He's got guys back from injuries and things like that. So I think he's should have a good outing.
And as we mentioned, Texas A&M has everything to play for, because as I saw somebody put out, you know, TK, if Texas A&M, let's just say where Alabama loses a game, Texas A&M runs the table, and if Texas A&M were to upset Georgia in the conference championship, TK, tell me they're going to leave Texas A&M out of the college football playoff after they just did that. They would definitely be in that top four.
No, I mean, if the college football playoff is what it says it's about, then they would have to be in, because they're doing this. They're progressively getting better, and that's what they say it's about. So,
no doubt. Yeah. So there is lots of interesting stuff. Like I said, guys, we are the Second to None podcast. Please search us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you do. My name, TK's name, anywhere you see it, you can, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you would be able to find us there. Also, if you would do us a favor, all the people, there's lots of people in here right now, guys, that I'm seeing on the screen here. If you could do us a favor, hit that like button if you like the content, turn on notifications, subscribe, all that kind of stuff, and come back for it on our Wednesday show. In our previews, we're going to start putting at the end of it a little giveaway opportunity with TK's company, Rowdy Wellness. We'll tell you all about that on Wednesday or later in the week when we release those preview shows. And we are about to sign off, but Wesley Perkins gets a question in here right under the gun. We'll answer that. Is there a scenario out there where the SEC West could come down to the winner of the Iron Bowl? Those games become even more epic. Yes, it could. But what would have to happen with three losses? Alabama, I think, would have to lose to Arkansas, and then Texas A&M would have to lose a couple games. So, I mean, it would get real muddy to see how that goes down. But regardless, Wesley, the Iron Bowl is going to have an impact on the SEC West. So that adds more state to that game. And just with it being at Jordan-Hare, I don't care if Alabama or if Auburn just lost to – I don't care who they just lost to. All right, that game is always – you can throw the records out the window, and with it being at Jordan-Hare, there's always some magic there. But, guys, as I said, we are the Second and None Podcast. I'm Blaine Gilmer for Tavares King. The show is brought to you by Bet Online. And like I said, subscribe, turn on notifications, do all that good stuff for us, and we will catch you later in the week for more SEC coverage on the Second to None Podcast here, guys. Ha ha.